Let's get down to business.
The Linux Night Tech Show is on. Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Yeah, baby. Another exciting episode of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is episode 242. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2008. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Another week, another show. Dan's on a crappy microphone, noise-making something.
You know what? Hear. Enough out of you.
We still appreciate you, Dan.
Dun, 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 dun. Let's introduce our first guest.
Okay, well,
we're going to do it.
Okay, we got Joe Bourne from Neuris Technology. Joe, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me on.
Good to hear from you, Joe.
How you guys been?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Good.
So what's new and exciting with Neuros?
Well, you guys saw the announcement. We're partnering with TI on a new platform and a new set of bounties that's in conjunction with that. So we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is, you know, the long-awaited HD version of our current product in a nutshell, but, you know, it's a new platform, much more open based on, you know, a variety of open source technologies, and including Linux, and, you know, and TI is getting behind it. We think it's a pretty big deal, so that's the biggest thing that's new with us.
Now, this is something new for Texas Instrument, right? They've really, for their long history, they've been pretty much a closed company, right?
Yeah, well, it's mixed. I mean, TI has long had a division that sells to scientists and small, you know, innovators and like that, and so that part of it was reasonably open. But the part that sold the, you know, the cell phone chips and the like has been, you know, really quite closed. And a lot of that for them wasn't philosophically so much as just support issues. You know, they've always been afraid that if they opened up these highly sophisticated, you know, cell phone and, you know, vertical market chips, then they'd be inundated with support calls. So they've traditionally been kind of closed and you know, ambivalent or even hostile towards kind of open source. If you guys remember, I mean, you know, one of our earliest contacts with TI was, you know, they wanted us to take some of our source code down because, you know, linked to their headers and the like. And, you know, in just 4 years, they've actually come to, you know, not only kind of embrace it, but, you know, support the communities with, you know, with dollars and information and stuff. So I see it as, you know, really strong progress. And I, you know, overall, I really feel that 08 is kind of a tipping point for, you know, not just embedded Linux, but, you know, open electronics generally, you know, not just with TI's effort, but, you know, Nokia and MIMO and obviously Android and mobile Ubuntu and a lot of activity, and I think a lot of things that are starting to reach the consumer level. So
I totally agree with you. 2008 is the year of embedded Linux.
Well, I think it's really a kind of a tipping point for, you know, kind of embedded electronics, you know, generally. And I think we're going to see some very interesting things as, you know, as you open the spigots and allow third-party participation on electronics, you know, then I think something, you know, very special can happen. Certainly did with, you know, with PCs many years ago. So, you know, we'll see.
What do you attribute the turnaround in TI's attitude with regards to, I don't know if they completely embrace, but partnering with an open source project?
Well, I think, you know, they've been witness to some of the interesting things that have happened, and I think that, you know, Neuro certainly is one of their customers, but there are others that have done some pretty interesting things. And so, you know, they're starting to look around. They're a very customer-focused company. And so when you say, well, you know, we've had good success, we're coming up with new codecs for your DSP, better utilization for your processors, and it's free to you. This isn't something you had to sponsor or pay for. It's just organically happening. I think it kind of has gotten their attention. And, you know, it hasn't been overnight, but I think to their credit, it's been relatively fast. I mean, you know, a year ago at their developer conference, we were just sort of practically talking conceptually about some of these concepts. And, you know, here we are now, you know, some real concrete action happening. And first ever open source session at their developer conference. So,
yes.
I think to answer your question, it's a combination of a variety of things. I've also, you know, I've talked to a lot of people at TI, but TI has traditionally had, you know, these very expensive, high investment models for releasing their chips. So, you know, on one hand, they took 10 engineers to a cell phone manufacturer to get a chip implemented. And on the other hand, they had this, you know, highly documented process of releasing to, you know, the more public. And, you know, they're seeing that. You know, they're seeing that open source can provide a third way for them. So, I think it's a combination of all those factors.
Well, that's fantastic news that, you know, a traditionally closed company like TI is dipping the toe in the water and checking out the open source.
Hold this a second.
Now, on to the Neuros OSD.
Dan, you might.
I'm sure everybody's clamoring for you to come out with a high definition version.
Right.
How's the progress going with that? How far along are you guys with that?
Good. You guys will see an announcement from us in probably about a month's time. We've already started to release some details of that. You know, we've got some internal samples. We have some, even some. Google Summer of Code projects that are focused on that. So release of very early hardware. Developer kit will probably be available in about a month. And, you know, the finished consumer product, you know, when the software is ready in a nutshell. But, you know, we're hoping for later this year.
It seems that there's a lot of high-definition capture devices that are coming out or about to come out in the next few months.
Right.
There's the Neuros OSD. There's the new HotPog capture device that's going to be high definition, which is going to be an H.264 encoder, real-time
right.
H.264 encoder. There's a few other devices, small form factor devices. I mean, it's really exciting, and it seems that, you know, with the transition into digital television.
That's enough.
Excuse me, Dan?
I think Dan has forgotten his mic is on when he's talking to
me. Yeah, he's yelling at
us. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it still on?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is, Dan. I muted it.
Thanks.
Sorry, Pat.
No, not really.
It just seems that there's a lot of high-definition devices that are ramping up now. I mean,
right.
it seems we're coming to that point where, you know, everybody's moving to HD.
Right. Well, and again, a lot of this, you'd be surprised, under the hood, it's a lot of this is just driven by the silicon manufacturers. I mean, we've seen, you know, not just TI, but Mobilogen and a host of others who have, you know, now HD-ready silicon. And so the reference designs are coming out, and the manufacturers roll out those products. So, you know, it's not surprising you see these waves because, you know, as manufacturers, we're waiting on the silicon to be ready and reference designs, and we do the integration. So I think, you know, that's why, to me, you know, that, you know, TI's embrace is so significant because it really does, you know, at the consumer level, it's not always obvious, but it really does drive, you know, innovation, the wave of products and the nature of those products at the consumer level. So
can you reveal what kind of encoder you guys are going to go with?
What codec?
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason that, you know, we're strong partners with TI is that we would like to support a variety of codecs. So, you know, the encoding will be H.264 and MPEG-4, and the decoding will be, you know, quite varied as it is now on the current unit, you know, with high-def support. So, you know, H.264, MPEG-4, some level of WMV, MPEG-2. We've got some bounties out for Aug Theora. So, on both the video and audio side, we're going to try and be as comprehensive as we can. And, you know, that's, again, that's the beauty of the, you know, that general purpose DSP that TI makes versus some of the other dedicated chips that, you know, might do just H.264 or, you know, or whichever codec they've chosen. So, so that's where we that's where we're going to come down. You know, quite a variety on the playback side, and you know, certainly H.264 and MPEG-4 on the encode side, and potentially more.
Now, I read recently that you guys are going to be going to Qt for your toolkit. Is that true?
We have, in fact, we have a release on the current device that you guys have. That's kind of alpha or beta release from we call that Arizona internally, but that's based on the Qt toolkit. So it's nice. It looks a little bit different, but you know, most importantly, under the hood, it's, you know, it's so much easier for hackers to get involved with than the homegrown toolkit we were using. So you've already started to see some activity of that. We had somebody port a web browser to the unit, which is kind of interesting, and I think you're going to see more and more activity on that, because it's just, you know, it's just so much handier for a wide variety of developers to develop for.
Now, you guys are strong proponents of doing bounties. How's that working out for you? Are you filling your needs?
Yeah, we've tried a great variety of things, and what we do now, there's kind of a few different programs that we tried. Some of them were what we now call quick bounties, which are, you know, $500,000, first come, first serve, whoever finishes it gets it. You know, we had mixed success. What it largely did is alerted our community, here are areas of great interest to us. And then on the other hand, we have something more akin to kind of the Google Summer type of project, which is where we've got the bulk of our complete projects done. So those are what we're calling bounties now, and you'll see those are usually in the $5,000 to $15,000 range. And generally, we just kind of go out there and take submissions, and you know, kind of similar to what's done with Summer of Code, except it's not restricted to students. And we take submissions, and then at the end of that, you know, we award a project, and you know, pay the money essentially when it's finished. So we've had good success. I think it's a very good model for getting things done, and you know, a lot better than a standard kind of conventional contract model. So what it allows us to do, rather than just looking for a contractor, you know, it cuts through a lot of the documentation. It, you know, it allows us to find, you know, people who are self-starters and you know, can do the work without a terrific amount of instruction or documentation or reports back, and you know, it's a fairly streamlined process for getting work done, and you know, everyone gets the satisfaction of knowing it's getting contributed back to the community, and I think more and more of our development is really going that way. We've got some fraction of it today. I don't know just what that's done that way, but that's certainly on the rise.
Now, speaking of communities, I mean, I pop into the Neuros forum every once in a while, and it seems to be very active over there, not just for developers, but end users.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a big part of what we're doing. You know, we have a development team spread across the planet, and so we use that community feedback as a real mechanism for keeping everyone, you know, on the same page. So, yeah, the user feedback is, you know, it's quite central to us, and I think it's one of the advantages we have as a manufacturer, that we have an easier time reaching, you know, end users directly, because, you know, we have a product sold at Fry's and the like. So, you know, we want to use that to the maximum of its utility.
I have one request for you, Joe, with the HD version of the Norse OSD. Make it compatible with MIT-TV.
Absolutely.
I think that really is key. I think
mm-hmm. I agree.
I think you. I know you know, because you're pretty active in the MIT mailing list. I see you popping in there every once in a while.
Right. No, absolutely.
And if you can get a community like the MIT-TV community behind you, it'll help drive sales and development, I think.
I agree 100%.
I mean, there are some high definition capture cards that are out there. but nothing that'll, you know, just plug into, say, like a component out connection and just take, you know, it'll capture from any device, you know. I think a lot of the high-definition capture cards are limited to CAM or like the HD Home Run, which is just over the air.
Right.
And I think that's where the Hopog device is going. You want to be a universal connection. Doesn't matter if it's cable, satellite, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect you'll see more analog-to-digital high-def encoding devices because, like I said, the silicon is becoming available, and it's sure to be implemented in some you know, PC peripherals as well. But I think, you know, as far as a freestanding device, we're unique in that regard. And, you know, I think that's an important place in the market. Not everyone wants to use a PC solely for recording, and, you know, it's nice to have different options and a set-top box that'll do it and something that's not tethered to a PC. And, you know, like you say, you know, it's great if it can be a front end for MIF, but, you know, but it's also nice if it doesn't require a separate box. So.
Yes, yes. Flexibility, I think, is the key.
Right.
Now, you guys still get a lot of press for the Neuros OSD, and it's pretty far along in its life cycle.
Well, it is, but, you know, I think that, you know, standard def is going to be here for a while, and we continue to get cost reductions for the product. We pass those along to consumers, and we continue to enhance the functionality. And, you know, I think, like I mentioned with the QT, it's, you know, it really is getting interesting on a software level, and we're trying to keep that development very much in parallel with the HD platform. So it's really just a matter of, you know, are you willing to pay a premium for high def? And if you are, we have a product for you. And if you're not, we have a lower cost version for standard def. And both of them support all this unique, you know, functionality and networking and so on and so forth. So I don't see that product going away anytime. I think the activity on it is, you know, is increasing and it's only going to continue to increase. And, you know, we're really looking to add a new unit to the line rather than replace the OSD. So.
Well, let me ask you, as far as designing a new product, do you guys do all your designs in-house? Do you go to some of the vendors and get, you know, some specs? How does that process work exactly? I mean, you don't have to go into super detail, but just general.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm just talking to a friend about that. But, I mean, you know, we certainly follow an open innovation model in that we're getting a lot of input from our vendors and, you know, partners and suppliers. And so, you know, what happens is it's very much driven by, you know, A, our silicon vendors, in this case TI. Certainly, to a lesser extent, you know, the factories that are doing the integration over in Asia. But, you know, we primarily do our own design, so that's become less of a factor in Neuros over time. And, you know, and then certainly on the software side, you know, we're you know, takers of a lot of different technology from a lot of different groups. And, you know, we focus most of our efforts for acquiring that on, you know, open source projects. But, you know, we'll certainly take software from just about anyone who's willing to give it. So,
well, back with the standard definition, even if the you know, the American and the European markets are more into the high def, there are other markets that are still staying with standard definition. I mean, Asia, Africa, South America. So I'm sure there'll be demand for it, you know, going forward for at least a few more years.
Well, and remember, too, don't confuse digital and high definition. The DVB-T standard is a standard definition format, just digital over the air. So, you know, we actually, you know, can potentially play back some of that content, you know, with the current unit. We haven't plugged in a DVB-T tuner, but it is theoretically possible. So,
yes, that's the scam that if you go into a lot of the big box stores, those salespeople will try to dupe unwitting people who don't know the difference between high definition and digital. They'll try to sell them that, you know, to get digital, you need to have a high definition TV, which you really don't. As long as you have a cable box or satellite box, you're already digital.
Right. Yep.
I guess it's just a common misconception.
Sure.
So Joe, do you guys have any plans to maybe go back into an audio player market or not?
I get asked that once a week at least, and the trade shows I get asked multiple times. I don't know. I would love to, but, you know, and TI's some very well-suited silicon for it, but no plans immediately.
You can only do so much, right?
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with you guys concentrating on a high-def Neuros OSD. That's fine by me.
Good.
Well, I appreciate you coming in for a bit, Joe, giving us an update. It sounds like you guys have exciting things going on over at Neuros.
Great. Well, love to check in with you guys anytime, so thanks for having me on.
Are you going to be going to Ohio Linux Fest this year?
I plan to. I certainly plan to.
Great. Hope to see you there.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Have a great night. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
And that was Joe Bourne. Good stuff, man.
Always here to good. Always good to hear from Joe. You know.
I'm sorry,
Denver. What did they do over there?
I'm sorry for cutting in there. I thought my mic was
you
muted.
You suck, dude. Don't ever do that again.
I know. I really do suck.
Bastard.
Dan yelling at our guests.
I was yelling at the beasts who were causing problems.
The beasts.
Such terms of endearment.
Yeah.
So, Link, what's going on with you, man?
Same old, same old. How about you guys?
Not too bad. I hope you're feeling a little better yet. You've been feeling a little crappy the last few weeks.
Right? Oh, it's just freaking cold. It will. It still got me. It will not go away, man.
Last time I had one, it lasted about 3 weeks.
Yeah, this thing is.
You'll start like feeling better on the 4th.
It lingers really bad. You know?
Yeah. You'll start feeling better on about the 4th week toward the end.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't want to wait that long.
I didn't want to wait that long either, man, but it just like it went away and then it came right back. It was like gone for a couple of days and then it came right back even worse. So.
Hey, Dan?
Yes, sir.
You sound a bit like Darth Vader, man. We can hear like every breath you're taking in. Every breath you take.
Ah, oh, jeez. I can never get this just perfectly. How's that? Is that better?
Just a little better. So Dan finally took the plunge, man.
Yes, Dan did. He's running Vista now. I'm proud of it.
What? I wasn't talking about that.
Not until later, at least.
But if you want to reveal that, you're more than welcome to.
No, Dan's not. Dan would never do that. He doesn't approve of Vista.
He just went for the big analog clock.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'll get the big analog clocks in a minute. Yeah, I'm running Myth TV now. I've been running for the past couple of days.
Cool.
It's about damn time.
Well, Last week, Sorry, Alan. I don't want to cut you off cutting me off.
No. Go ahead. just reminded me I got to set up for a recording tonight. All right. As you were saying. Sorry.
Oh, okay. As long as you're sure, it's all right. Anyway, I was I bid on a 150 last week, and I won that bid. I got it for like 48 bucks or something. And
good deal.
I paid for it Thursday and got it on Monday and popped it in there. I had already set up most of it. The only thing I had was that old Hoppage. I don't even know what kind of card this is. The old Hoppage.
TV 150?
No, the old card. The old card was a Win TV 44001 Rev C110. It doesn't have a number on it.
That's not even a real encoder, right? It's just a raw capture card.
No, yeah, it doesn't have an encoder on it, which makes a world of difference. Believe me, it's a world of difference when you have that actual MPEG encoder on there. It's the difference between about a 2 or 3, a 2 second lag in the audio or the video from the audio, than perfect translation. But I popped that card in there and I was up and running in a few seconds, and I actually had a lot more fun messing around with the different options and configuring it and playing around with things than I did actually watching any TV programs that I wanted to record. So, I was digging it very much. I set up some recordings. I got the web interface going, which is pretty cool because then I can just see what's on TV while I'm at work. And if I want to record something, I can. I have not gotten too deeply into the transcoding stuff. So I figured, with the web interface, it also allows you to download files or to stream. And you're talking, what, about 2 gigs for an hour of video?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
About that,
you can,
yeah.
You can. That's about average, but you can tweak that if you'd like.
Yeah, but I still, you would have to transcode it into a different format other than the standard MPEG-2.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah, standard.
Yeah, Alan, you
know, which
transcode
which,
your files, right?
Yeah, mine get converted to the Nokia format.
On what do you use?
There's a program on there. It's called Christ, I have to go look it up on it. 770 encode. It's like a Perl script.
The new one is it's called Tablet Encode.
Oh, okay. It is?
Right,
yeah.
Right. If you go to the BitTV
they
wiki,
they released a new one. Yeah.
There's old documentation on how to set it up. It's pretty straightforward. So what you'll do is
there was a new one.
Yeah, it's the same one. It's just a new version, and they renamed it to Tablet Encode, and it works a little bit
right.
better, I think.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Tablet Encode? Is that installed by default?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
Now, I missed. Which version are you using, Dan? Or did you just compile it yourself?
No, I'm using Mythbuntu. And,
okay.
The version of Myth... Hold on,
it was just updated to 21.
Yeah.
21.
Mm-hmm. Now...
I'm running Mythbuntu, and it's you know, obviously it's the guts-a-given version.
Oh, God, look at that. I have a program on there now called NUV Export, and when I was running it before, it wouldn't work properly, but now it does because I guess of the new version. So... I can use that.
NUV export is for encoding to different formats like XVID, DivX, MP4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I was interested in, but also there's the FFmpeg to Fiora. And, of course, there's FFmpeg and mEncoder and VLC on there, too, for doing different things. But like I said, I haven't set it up yet to record a show and then automatically transcode it. I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
You can also set it up so that in the menu they have a button where, you know, you have the show and you hit transcode and it'll fire it off and off it goes.
Yeah,
you don't
there's so much
just
you
have,
could do with
if
it.
If you don't want to have everything, you know, transcoded by default.
One of the things I used to do, I'm not doing it right now on it, is that if you take the 770 encode stuff or what it's tablet encode now on it, throw that into its own directory and make that available, you know, over your web interface on it. You can actually get that to stream pretty well in VLC on it, even like from a slower connection on it. There seems to be, you know, it cuts it down so that, you know, it's actually pretty viewable. So if you just want to sit at your desktop or something at work, you can actually stream and it works a little bit better than the streaming that came off the web. Web interface, for me, it always said it would want to download the whole damn thing first before it would actually show me the picture. Although I think on the newer one, I think my web encode or my web interface has a flash encoder, but I don't know that it actually works right. It did, but for some reason right now, it doesn't right now. I'm not sure if I screwed something up or what happened, but I put it into a little, you know, a little like 320 by 240 screen, which was a little too slow for even for the flash. It was a little too small on it. But the 770 encode, I actually used to be able to watch that at work on it and didn't have any problem with it.
I'm just exploring, just touching the tip of the iceberg here. Now, what was I going to ask? I was just going to ask a question about this. Damn it, now I can't remember. When you guys are recording, when the show's recording, can you watch the show as it's being recorded off of just, like, watch TV? Because when I click on the watch TV thing, it says tuners are being... Okay.
Nope. What you have to do is you have to go into your recordings and you'll see the show that's being recorded.
Yeah.
It's highlighted green. And then you could start watching that show, and it should automatically skip the commercials. Usually, you need like 15-20 minutes lead time for a live show to skip through the commercials all the way through.
Yeah, I kind of figured that would be the case. I know, like TiVo, you could just click on the live TV and it would allow you to watch whatever it's recording at that time.
Now, if you're watching TV and you hit your record button, say like on your remote, you could stay in there while it's recording.
That's the one thing I don't have yet is a remote, and just trying to remember what the different keyboard shortcuts do is a little bit of a pain in the butt. Actually, I have my knowledge of what the keyboard shortcuts are is pretty much derived from just reading the when you go into setup and you list the keys.
Left, right arrow, enter, and escape is all you really remember.
Yeah, key for pause, you know, and play.
Yeah.
And mute. Mute's pretty important, too.
Yeah. Also the volume, too. That helps.
Volume, mute. At first, one of the things I don't seem to be able to do is when you get into the... I haven't figured out which key it is yet. When you get into the menu and you're going... the TV listings, I mean. When you're going through the TV listings and you see a show, you know, a channel that you want to watch, how do you... get it, like, I would think you just press enter on that and it should do something, but it usually brings up, like, the option to record it. How do I say, you know, that's the channel I want?
I think what it is, if you're looking through the recording menu, that's strictly for recording. What you need to do is if you go into watch TV, you could pull up the program guide while you're watching TV, and you'll see the show that you're currently watching, a channel that you're currently watching, like Letterboxd, to the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. How do you, like, highlight the channel? How do you tell it, I want to watch that channel?
I just hit the OK button, and it goes.
I thought it was enter, but I'm not sure about that now.
But when I hit enter, it brings up, like, the options to record. And I'll have to mess around with it again a little bit later.
I highly recommend the Microsoft MCE remote control IR receiver and blaster. $29 you can get it for, and it comes with two IR transmitters. It works very well, and it's basically Philips equipment. All you need to do is load up the MCE USB 2 module. You can even select it through the Mifubuntu command utility. You can go in there and select what remote you have, and it'll set up the modules and everything automatically. Now, the only caveat to that is I don't particularly care for the default key bindings on that remote model, so I have my own customized one that I like a little better. But if you do get that remote, Dan, you know, try it out and let me know what you think of that, how the remote is. I can give you my configuration file for LIRC, and you might like that one better.
I'll have to definitely give it a whirl when I get paid. I look forward to checking it out. It's only like $30 too.
Yeah, that's a real good deal.
Like, buy it if you want.
You can't go wrong for $29, man.
Yeah, I've heard it, people have horrific experiences upgrading Myth, and I actually did an upgrade last night, and it wasn't too bad. Although I noticed they seem to change certain, like, module functionality. Like, before I had Myth DVD, or what was it, Myth
yes.
DVD? Or Myth,
yep,
I,
what
I
happened was...
functionality was replaced by Myth Video.
Right. That was a known common thing. So as long as it's communicating, you can go to the forum and see that it's an issue, and what the workaround is, it's pretty easy. Now, Mythbuntu is officially supported by the Ubuntu project, so there is a sub-forum. If you go to the Ubuntu forums, you'll see a Mythbuntu forum in there. That's very active.
Yeah. So did Myth Video replace Myth DVD?
Yes, it did.
All right. So the same functionality that was in Myth DVD is now in Myth Video.
Yeah. It seemed to have combined the two modules into one for whatever reason. Just
well,
a packaging
good.
Thing.
Now, you guys have you have yours hooked up to your flat screen TV?
No, my Mythbox is connected to my regular Panasonic 32-inch standard definition TV in the family room.
Okay, and the video out on your card looks really good.
Looks phenomenal. I have an Asus motherboard that has a non-board NVIDIA 6150 video card, and it has a component out that can do high def. It could do up to 1080i. But it looks great with standard def too. It looks fine.
Now, what do you have going out? Is that composite or SVD?
Component. Component out. The video card has component out as well as S-Video out. I use the component.
Oh, that's nice, because mine only has S-Video out, and the resolution isn't that nice.
I'm very happy with my setup, man. I think I paid maybe $80 for that motherboard. If you go to my blog and just do search on Mint TV, you'll see my entries when I picked that up and set it up and configured it originally. So I would assume that motherboard, which is a mini ITX, you know, mini ITX is nice because you could fit it in small form factor cases. So you can get like a really nice HTPC case, home theater PC case, and it looks great in the rack, you know, the stereo component rack. It looks just like another component, you know, it's black and you really can't tell it's a computer.
Not mine, man. Mine's an eyesore.
Yeah, you just got a big ass honking box, right?
Yeah, it's got a clear side, and it's got LEDs inside, and the fans are flashing, you know, because they have, like, LEDs on the fans. It looks very rainbowy pretty, but, you know, if it's going to be an eyesore, it might as well be a flashy eyesore. Kids love it. Everybody loves it.
Now all we got to do is get Link on the Myth TV bandwagon.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you, Link?
Well, I don't have a box to put it in, really. Not one that's powerful enough just yet. I do have a card. I mean, can you remember I bought that card from you? I think it's a BVR 150 or something like that. Quite a while ago.
That's a good card.
But I just don't have anything decent to put it in yet, you know?
We got to set you up, man. You can build up a nice box for a couple $100, man.
Yeah, well, I don't have a couple $100. That's a problem.
Well, the Bush rebate's coming soon, man.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. It's a good possibility. That's what it'd go for, too. You never know.
Cool beans.
You never know.
Well, Dan, welcome to the world of Mint TV.
Dun, 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 dun. Maybe I'll get an ATI card. How about that, huh?
Nah, man.
Yeah, I did that.
Some of the newer HTPC specific mini ITX motherboards have HDMI, so I don't know how well they work with Linux, but I've heard from different people that they do work okay, depending on which motherboard you get. So always research your components when you put together a MythBox.
Yeah.
You know, I know, Alan, you're still running NotMyth, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, NotMyth is nice, too, man.
Drop the CD in, answer a couple of questions, and you got a up-and-running MythBox.
Yeah, they're both great distributions for, you know, a MythTV-specific box. I don't know, I'm on an Ubuntu kick, so I really like Myth Ubuntu. I think it's really good.
Hey, this is definitely really, really good. I also got main running, so I don't have to, you know, go down to the storage, pull out one of those big cabinet arcade games and drag it up to my apartment so I can play, you know, that vast collection of those that I have. So I bit the bullet and decided to leave them in the cold storage and just, you know, get the ROMs that are equivalent to the ones that I own and, you know, do some MAME playing on there. And a lot of good stuff. I like MAME.
Yeah, it's great, man. I've got a decent collection of ROMs. I have most of the bigger titles that everybody knows. There's a few that I'm missing.
And, of course, you own the arcade games that are associated with those, yes?
Of course. I own all the ROMs, man, legally.
I mean, you figured you own the cabinet, so that's good. That's good because it's important. We don't advocate piracy here. Alan might, but the rest of us don't.
Who, me? I haven't run MAME in quite a while.
MAME is great, man. It's absolutely great. And it works really well with Myth TV. If you got a Myth box, fires up and you can play all your games right through the TV. Shall I go get Gork on so we can hear him bitch about something?
Yeah. I need to find a damn video card that does anything but S-video out. I don't want S-video anymore.
A lot of the NVIDIA cards have component out. Some of them even have HDMI.
I've never had problems with S-video out.
Maybe it's just because my card is old.
Probably.
Well, here we go.
Let me jump off and go get Gorkon. Hold on.
Well, this one's got component out. What is it?
Does your TV have component?
Is it component or composite?
Different thing.
Composite is the...
Composite is just two. Component is three. It's just video.
Wait, component is what?
Component is, if you look on your TV, you've got a red, a white, and a yellow one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's composite.
Okay, component
video, you have, is there a green in there too, I think, right?
There's a blue, green, and a red.
Yeah.
And it's only video.
And it's just video.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So if you don't have that on the back of your TV, you're not going to be able to do
it anyway. Besides HDMI, component is the next best type of connection for video.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have component. I have composite.
Yeah.
I could do composite. I don't have component.
But that's actually lower than S-video, so.
Oh, yeah, it is?
A step below component is S-video, and the lowest is actually coax. That's the crappiest connection. So it's coaxial, composite, S-video, component, HDMI. That's the levels of quality you get.
Crap in a bucket. Maybe I'll just have to get a better video card with a better video out. Or S-video. I mean, just maybe
you have to get a better TV. You have to get a TV with composite in.
So you mean my 10-year-old TV isn't cutting it? That might be the problem.
Your 10-year-old TV won't cut it. For anything other than S-video.
No.
Yes.
No. You know what? It's damn good enough. They'll like it. Be happy they have it.
Like I said, I've always used S-videos for all my, you know, my interconnects on my TVs. On it. It works perfectly fine for me. When I get the 52-inch TV, flat screen, on it, then I'll worry about something else.
Pat said he was going to buy you one of those last week.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep waiting. It hasn't arrived yet.
Is this Lug Radio's littlest buddy?
Yes.
Lug Radio's
it's
littlest
my friend,
buddy.
Okay?
What's that?
If you must know, it's Link, Dan, and Pat, and Alan. All right, thank you. Leave me alone.
Gork, are you at Pizza Hut again?
No.
Wait, who's there with you? You didn't bring, like, an Amway salesman on, did you?
No, it's my wife.
Your wife sounds like a man?
No, my wife's just annoyed.
Oh.
Because she won't leave me alone, and I get pissed, and she wonders why. It's man night. I'm in the man cave, so.
Are you at home?
Yeah.
What's your wife doing in the man cave? Well, let me guess, it's, like, right in the kitchen or something, isn't it?
No. Anyway. Well, I upgraded my laptop to Hardy, and then I noticed that Automatics is histoire. And Dan and Pat say that you don't need it. And
you don't.
Well, you're correct. However, I think that, first off, it's sad to see it go, all right, because I think that, you know, for us, going to Synaptic or doing an apt-get install, that's not a big deal, all right? But for new users, that's kind of a pain in the butt, to be totally honest, you know, and that, you know, yes, they'll have to or should learn that, you know, no question. But anything that you can make easier for the users is better. And by easier, you know, some of the Ubuntu stuff has made it easier within Hardy, and for the previous release, Gutsy, you know, they were pretty good. However, certain things still just aren't going to work, you know. Going to install certain things, you know, like if somebody wants to install, say, Picasa or Google Earth or, you know, some of the other closed source things, it's more difficult. And those programs like Picasa and Google Earth, those were all handled real well by Automatics.
You just like the fact that you just hit the one install and you get everything, right?
Pretty much. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could deal with it. And that's just fine. But I think what we need more of is new users and the EPCs and the mini nodes and all that. The mini node probably won't get many new users, but the EPC probably will over time. But except for now, ASUS is now having Windows XP EDs, and I'm not exactly sure.
Let's go through the list. You talked about Google Earth and Picasa. The main things that I remember using Automatics was the NVIDIA driver, which is handled now by the closed
driver. That's handled fine.
Driver.
Yep.
Okay, you have, let's see, some codec support. You got MP3. That's pretty easy to get going, right, with GStreamer.
Yeah.
Windows Media, right? What else?
Mm-hmm.
QuickTime?
Possibly. And then you also have, some people might have Six Fascination with Real Player, you know.
And VLC. VLC does a ton of codecs.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we should keep Automatics around for Real Player.
No. No. I'm just, you know. Where does it fall? I mean, I understand the automatic folks, you know, they're busy. They got their lives now. They got things changed. You know, everything changes, you know. Just like when I got married, I had to drop some hobbies. I'm sure that if they're married, just getting married, or if they're busy with other things, then they have things to do, too. But,
why'd you drop hobbies,
you know, it's
by
really important
married?
To make stuff. Well, if we want people to learn Linux, it has to be dead easy. Everything has to just work, you know. And I think Linux Mint is probably going to be a good one for those if they can still manage to keep around. And so far they have. But,
well, let me ask you this. What should we call you on the show?
Corcoran's fine, or Joel. It doesn't really
matter.
Okay,
I don't know if you're. I don't know. I don't want to drop your name because I don't know if you're hiding from some people.
Oh, Joel's fine, you know. I'm Joel McLaughlin. I'm everywhere in the net now anyway, especially since I joined Gear Diary. But
all right, Joel. Jolie Gorkon. Let me ask you this, okay? Now, we talk about people, you know, making it easier for people, but from the get-go, I mean, we could probably say that installing Ubuntu is relatively easy, yet it still remains a daunting task for the average Joe, installing any operating system. So just by the mere fact that they're willing to try installing and learning to install the operating system probably places them in a different category than most, you know, newbie-type people. So don't you think the mere process of attempting to get Automatics running and installed would be a difficulty akin to just getting the packages from the repository?
You know, you never thought about it that way, but you're probably right. I mean, which is, you know, why I'd rather see something like that, you know, more. And I really think Ubuntu is kind of moving in the right direction on that, and they're making it more easier within the distribution. But I think they got the right idea, but I think they just need to work on it just a little bit more, I think, you know, and make it just a little bit easier. You know, it's pretty easy now, especially for us, but for like people like my parents, you know, they're just gonna want it to work. They're not gonna care what's a dev. They don't care. You know, the browsing for packages in Synaptic is an alien thing for Windows users. They just want to take that disk that they buy at the Walmart or something and stick it in the computer. And unfortunately, with Linux, you just don't have that. And now, whereas we know that's better, mom and pop, they don't really think it's better.
You really think, like, you mean if you sat down and said, go down, you know, click on that applications menu, the GNOME menu, go down the bottom where it says add remove software, click on that, there's a wonderful, you know, graphical browser sectioned off into different categories, and instead of having to actually drive your ass out to Walmart and buy the, you know, drop, you know, 5 to 25 to 30, 40, 50 bucks, and come back with a disk and, you know, pop it in there and install it, you just click the button and it comes down for you. You don't think that they would find that a lot better?
We do. I know that you and I do. And maybe after they get it, they might. But a great example is my parents. They're not in dial-up. Or they're still on dial-up, I should say, believe it or not. And they're not going to switch for nobody. You know?
They don't deserve a computer.
Well, yeah, you're probably, you know, I'll never say that, because that's just a load of crap. But you just got, you know, it's, for some people, it's like the experience. It's like going to the record store. It's why some people are still buying CDs versus buying, not to mention back CDs, your CDs ain't going to go away. If Plays for Sure is going away in August, you know, not that you guys care or we care, but you know, DRM is a big stopper for a lot of the music download services. Now that we've got Amazon MP3, hopefully that people will finally get it, if you know what I mean. Why DRM is so bad? You know, my parents don't even know what DRM is or care, and that's, you know, that's another difference, you know. And for people who don't have broadband, you know, to be back to the subject there, people who don't have broadband, they're going to go, they're wondering how to install software, but, you know, they can't find any software in the store. You can't pick up a CD. Having Synaptic or whatever there was replacement for Synaptic to go out and install applications is pointless. If you don't have broadband, you know, downloading all those packages over a dial-up is going to be very painful and not possible. You know, and we're the hoi polloi, to be honest. We, even though we, it seems like we have, you know, seems like it's pretty cheap, and sometimes we don't have the money to spend on things we'd like to spend on. You know, we can't. You know, we already know the value of having a full-time online, all-the-time internet connection, whereas some people can barely check their email. And I still think that they can use Linux, but the thing is, you know, there are some people that just ain't going to switch to broadband. And to say things like, well, they don't deserve a computer anymore, that's just crap. I mean, you just can't say that. So, I guess what we probably should do, what would be nice to see is if some people would have Linux, like packages on CD or something, and handing those to people, and actually this is kind of the experience I had. Why in the world, when you boot off of the Ubuntu CD, if it detects an Ubuntu installation already on your computer, why doesn't it offer you to upgrade that?
Maybe they just want to try out a new version on a live CD.
Nope, there's
without
that.
Installing.
But you could still do that. But you can run the installer, then it can check the disk and see that installation, install it, could it not?
It should.
You know, I mean, why doesn't it do that? I mean, because, and
I
the
think,
main reason I'm
I
saying that is
can.
I just rebuilt my machine today. And mostly because now I was going to do it. You know, the way that you did and the way many other people will upgrade their distribution. But for some reason, work is throttling my connection when I try and download all these devs. And so it was going to take like 8 hours to download all those packages, where it might take two or three at home, if that. You know.
Why don't you download them on a CD and put them on a flash and take them over to your parents and grandparents and drop it off on there like that, yo.
But
listen to Dan.
Okay.
It doesn't solve the problem, I know, man.
No, it does. I mean, even broadband doesn't solve the problem, to be honest. You know, downloading all those those things. You know, we wanted to, one thing that me and one of the programmers that at work wanted to do is setting up an app cache. And I'm thinking, you know, well, if we can ever sneak it under the radar, that would make things better. But
what is that?
It'd
like a mirror, right?
It wouldn't. Huh?
Like a package mirror?
Yeah, you can do that. And we thought about doing that a couple times, but then we thought, nah, we'd probably get in trouble.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, Joel. Boss mm-hmm. man Joel.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is what I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to ask you. Would you be... Well, first off, don't you think, ultimately, that let's just cut out the middleman? People want it. Let's just deliver the CD with that software installed.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side to that is the other argument that legally it really can't be done. And what we're advocating here in some sense is breaking rules, you know, violating patents and copyrights and taking technology that we don't have permission to use because we didn't pay a license and using it or advocating the use of it. Even though when you think about it, you know, there's maybe an ethical or moral challenge to the illegality of doing that to begin with. What do you feel about those two things there?
Well, how? Let me ask you this. How is having a CD full of GPL software breaking a patent rule? It's not. Joe User, you know, like my mom and dad, you know, one of the first things, you know, when I get a new piece of software, it used to be the first thing they'd ask me was, hey, can you install that on my computer? Then after I woke up to software licensing, I said, no, I can't. And because it would be breaking the license, the software license, and you had to go buy your own. Basically, there's other people, mostly in the Windows world I'm finding, that don't care, and they'll trade software all over the place, regardless of the software laws or anything. You know, the same thing went for movies or DVDs. You know, I have people all the time. I have people at my church, mind you, who should know better, who are sending copyrighted music to me through via YouSendIt. So, I mean,
they don't care. Does it make it right?
And no, it don't make it right. I never said it did. But, you know,
okay.
They just don't understand it. You know, it's far beyond them. And you know, if I can, you know, basically, Linux, to me, you know, frees you of that kind of stuff for the software. You know, I can install anything I want. You know, this evening and afternoon, I installed a complete operating system, a full Office suite, a digital audio workstation software, all of which I got for nothing. And now, that is something that one of the big reasons why I'll always use open source now, when possible. But then there's companies and people, like my company at work, they want to buy a content management system. They should probably be using something like Joomla or something like that. No, but they're going to spend something. They're going to pay $20,000 or $30,000 a year. And to me, that's wasting that money.
Joel, a lot of companies, what comes down is, who do we sue if something goes wrong? They need a company associated with a product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, but what you know, that's the funniest thing is, you know, I had to deal with that. We have an ERP system at work, and we'll pay $300,000 a year for that, just for that software. And it's like $500,000 for our Oracle license because we got a big server. You know. And to me, like I said, like you said, it's preaching to the choir. And they would like, the funniest thing is they're of that opinion. They want to have a company that they can sue. However, the little college I work for ain't going to have enough money to sue Oracle. They're not going to have enough money to sue whoever wrote the ERP software. You know, suing companies and having a company to sue is pointless now, because most of these companies that we buy this stuff off of are way bigger than we are, than most other companies. So especially, you know, people, you know, working for schools or, you know, for small companies.
To us, man, it's a no-brainer, you know.
Right? Oh, I know. I mean, it's just, now how do we make it easier for the people who aren't as enlightened as we are to wake up and start using Linux, you know, or FreeBSD or any other open source software, you know. They just, I have my boss is actually convinced that using Windows is cheaper than using Linux.
How did you figure that out?
I don't know how. You know.
Well, what's his logic behind that?
I think I think his logic probably is because in some cases it might actually be. It just depends on what you want to look at. We. As a college, we have a huge Microsoft outlay, as you can imagine. You know, one of the first courses you have, you go learn it's called computer literacy, but you're not actually learning a damn thing about computers. You're learning how to use Office.
Exactly.
And so we have probably, 13 or 1,400 computers that pretty much all have Office on it. And other things, of course. And everyone of those are running Windows. We have VMs running Windows. We have, actually, a lot of Novell. And actually, they're switched, finally getting off their butts and switching a lot of those servers over to the Linux kernel. About time. I'm not involved with those. I'm on the AIX team. But, you know, when you look at all the money that we pay Microsoft, and actually we pay a lot less than most companies would for the amount of Microsoft software we have because we're a college. So, if you look at that, and you look at that, they give you somewhat of a level of support, which really, to me, is none. Because I don't even remember the last time any of our guys actually had to get on the phone and call Microsoft for support. Because usually you just assume it's Windows or it's something else, and you go and find some knowledge. You either try and find the knowledge base article or you just live with the problem. And I say, well, you know, if you go open source, you know, if you're worried about support, you can buy a support contract, you know, for a lot less than it would cost to buy out. And you can buy one support contract and have as many installations of Linux as you want. And that support company won't care, generally. Yeah, I guess it just depends on what kind of contract you set up. So. But, you know, another software package that we use at the college, we use Blackboard. And Blackboard, have any of you ever taken a class with that?
No, but I've heard about it.
Yeah,
I've played around with it.
Yeah, it's horrible, in my opinion. I take a lot of classes in it, because most of the class, since I work for the college, I get classes for free. So I take anything I want to take. And most of them are web-based through the Blackboard system, and they have their chat system sucks. I mean, I can't even search through the discussion board. There's no search on a discussion board. you know, which is just horrendous. It gives the instructors the freedom to have their course look like whatever they want. Unfortunately, every instructor makes their course look different. So in some courses, it might be on the syllabus, might have your assignments on it. Some courses, they have a separate button for assignments, and nothing's in the same place at the same time. And there's no enforcing of design or anything. So it's just, and that's just the way Blackboard allows you to do. Thankfully, I don't actually have to administer that server. But, you know, and I don't even know if they even considered Moodle. Probably not. Probably some PhD or somebody that works there decided, oh, we need to get this. And so, I don't know.
But what about Chad W.? He's like flying off the handle here recommending SakaiProject.org, and that's S-A-K-A-I Project.org. He's saying that that's the shizzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever.
I'm just repeating what Chad W. said. I think you do know what you're talking about, Gorkon.
Right.
I remember playing around. Now, when you said taking classes in Blackboard, did you mean actually taking a class in Blackboard, taking a class on Blackboard, or setting up Blackboard for use?
I meant server. Yeah, I meant using Blackboard to take a class. You know, I've got two classes. They're not taking class and learning how Blackboard works, but taking an actual class. Like one of the classes I'm taking this quarter is on small business. All right, and actually, it's kind of funny because some of the non-computer folks that take those classes, I can usually tell who they are right away. You know, because they can't find anything on there because of the design is so horrific. So.
I haven't played the Blackboard in such a long time.
It's not probably not any different.
But I've seen some back around when I was working at the school district. There were some online services like that were just god-awful.
Yeah. They expect people to learn with these systems, using these systems.
Well, some people swear by them, though.
I know. Yeah. And they want this nice friendly company to call up and help fix all their problems. Well, you know, let me tell you this, I'm one of the guys that has to call and talk to these nice friendly companies, and I could spend 2 weeks working on a damn problem that it ends up when they finally find the right person, it takes me 5 minutes to fix. And it took 2 weeks to get a solution, you know. And I just can't, that just gets under my craw when that stuff like that happens. And I'm like, without a support contract, I can at least Google stuff about open source software and find it. Probably 99.9% of the time. You know.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know, you pay for support. And it's just not worth the $150 that you shell out for it, at least.
Or more, much more than that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people waste a lot of money on that stuff. And that's why I think it's really kind of cool that HP and Asus are looking towards open source on the EPC and then the HP Mini Note. Which those are two machines. You mentioned the George Bush tax rebate. That's one. I'm going to get one of those with that. Which one? I'm not exactly sure yet. I got to convince the wife I want to spend. I want to get the mini note with the 120 gig hard drive. But it's gotten some good reviews actually. Unfortunately, all the reviews are of the Vista version. I've done all kinds of searching on the internet to see if anybody's reviewed the unit that comes with Sled 10 on it. I haven't found anything yet.
So you're still getting a lot of...
I haven't seen any reviews either.
Hmm?
Sorry, I haven't seen any of those reviews regarding that laptop either.
Yeah. I've seen a lot on the Windows version. And those, to me, impressed me enough. Plus, I've also used the Artigo that I reviewed for Gear Diary. Actually, I think it had the same CPU, if I remember right. Now I was kind of impressed with how quiet that thing ran. Not to mention the fact it worked pretty well. Now the only thing that's got me wondering is would the Mini Note support Compass? I'm guessing it probably won't, unless the SUSE folks have figured out how to get a better graphics driver. Because when I reviewed the Artigo, I couldn't get Compass to work on it.
Why not?
And had the Chrome graphics chip. It wasn't like an NVIDIA or an Intel. It was that odd VIA graphics chipset that they put in all their C7D or C whatever the C7M. I think it's C7M. Chip, that 1.2 gigahertz chip that's in there.
Okay. It doesn't do 3D?
Well, it does. It does, and it does a decent job in Windows, and I guess in Vista it even supports the
Arrow?
Shiny interface. Yeah, the Arrow, I think.
See, I'm wondering if the card is just...
kind of sucks.
Oh, it does, because I was wondering if it's just blacklisted, and sometimes you can go in and unblacklist the card... and it'll work fine, but they just blacklist it for, I mean, there's a couple instances where it might lock your system up or crash, but I have an Intel card that's blacklisted at work, and since I haven't blacklisted it, I haven't really had any problems. Huh. But that's me, because I'm cool like that. I don't know. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, really? Well, if you know, I'll have to check that out. You know, if I can ever see a review on the, if anybody can ever find a review on a Mini Note, send it my direction. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, me personally, I wouldn't buy a device unless I at least read a review of it.
Hmm.
You know, some of the other devices you've been looking at that you mentioned in your postings, you know, everybody has, people have them, so it's pretty unknown. You know, how they
yeah.
stack up, you know.
Well, you know, but on the other side of the coin, you know, they got SUSE on the Mini Note, and I'd like to assume that HP got some help putting that on there. But maybe, you know, I don't know. There's one thing to say about the E is the hack potential on the E is just tremendous. I mean, I've seen people put USB ports. Down by the memory slot, and they plug in a flash drive in there and a Bluetooth dongle in there. You know, they strip all the plastic coverings off of it, but they put them in there, and then it's basically like it's built in. And the great thing is, if you want to upgrade your flash, you can. And even adding touch screens to the E. I mean, the hack potential and the ease right there. Would I be hacking it? Probably not. Because I can't really afford to replace the unit if I fry it. But. And G-Potter sucks.
you should be using Bash Potter, you son of a bitch.
I know.
Hamstring.
I'm a bastard. I like a graphical podcatcher. I'm weird like that. I don't know why.
All right, Jolzy. We are going to bring in another guest who wants to come in and talk.
Right.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, man. It was a lot of fun.
Let us know what you get, all right?
Thank you.
Oh,
and
sure.
What's your new podcast?
The new one, Loop Chat with my son. We recorded episode 1 yesterday. It's loopchat.podshow.com, or actually I heard they're changing names to Mezio soon. But it was Luke's idea completely.
Awesome.
He came up and asked me, can we start a podcast, Dad? And I said, yeah, what do you want to call it? I don't know, Dad. I'm like, I'll think of something.
Cool. We'll have to check it out, man.
Awesome.
All right.
Have a good night, man.
Hey, you too.
Good hearing you.
Take care.
Peace out, yo.
Yeah, peace out.
Okay, up next in the queue, we have Russ. Russ, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Now, Russ, you are an avid Windows user who wanted to come on and debate Pat as to why OS X is better than Linux, correct?
Oh, that's right.
Fantastic.
Because I need freedom.
Before we start that, better for whom?
Russ, yeah, you actually have your own show now, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And what is the name of your show?
The Techie Geek. Is that thetechiegeek.com? When I heard that Chess Griffin was giving up podcasting, broke my heart, and I just had to pick up where he left off, you know? So, Chess,
I actually got to listen.
Heart.
Don't worry about Chess Griffin. He's gone to the dark side. You're on our forums, you know what I'm talking about.
He's dead to me.
Good, good. That's the way he should
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
And pretty soon Dave Yates will be dead to us all, too.
Yeah.
I'm calling it here now.
Ditches, right?
That's right. He'll be laying in the ditch.
I know you. Son
of a... I actually listened to the first episode of your show. You're doing a great job. I look forward to more.
The first one was kind of rough. I was just trying to figure it out. But I think they'll get a little better as time goes on. I'm trying to encourage Windows Power users to check out Linux free and open source software, see what it has to offer.
Now, how long have you been using Linux for now?
Well, I've been using Linux off and on since 97 or 98. The employer that I used to work at, the ISP that we had gave us a firewall that ran OpenBSD. I know that's not Linux, but I had to learn how to administer that, and the IP firewall in there. So I think that was when I first started to learn the command line, and then when I first heard about Nopix, I think it was version 3.1, when I heard about this idea that you could use a live CD to, boot to a corrupted Windows partition. And when I tried that, I was pretty much hooked, because that's exactly what I needed to do. I was able to get some important data off a crashed Windows drive with a Nopix CD. And Nopix was able to mount it. It saw my network. I was able to FTP files off of that drive. Linux saved the day, and I've pretty much been hooked ever since.
Have you ever looked into any of the forensic style distributions for
like
doing
Helix?
Yeah, Helix. There's a couple others that do some like heavy duty data recovery and forensics tools.
Yeah, I have used Helix. I think I have version like 1.8 in my toolkit. Nopix 3.1, believe it or not, I still use that one because it'll work with really old hardware and old video cards. And a lot of times, you know, if you're working on a Windows machine that's 5 or more years old, the chances are it only has, like, a 4-meg video card. If you try to drop a new live CD in there, you usually got to play around with the video settings to get it to work. I find that the 3.1 CD that I still carry in my toolkit works great.
Nopix is an awesome utility.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, it still holds up after all the time that's been out.
At home, I use Linux Mint on my main desktop at home. And I have one at work also. And I have an Ubuntu Dapper server that I use for rsync backup. And that's most of my Linux exposure at work. But then I also, this is actually partly how I got interested in podcasting. One of the Windows-related podcasts I listen to regularly is Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. And last October, I think it was, he mentioned in his show that he was looking for someone to help with some Linux administration. And I wrote him that, you know, I'd be willing to help out. And so he brought me on, and he has the podcasting company Raw Voice, and they have 6 Linux servers. 4 of them are SanOS, and 2 are Fedora. And basically, I keep them up to date and make sure nothing, no processes get hung on them. Make sure all the backups happen. That kind of thing. And I've learned a lot since I've been doing that.
Now, is that an official job, or is that just like a volunteer work?
I guess it's an official job. About 25 hours a month. It figures out to just about an hour, just under an hour a day, that I stay logged into them 24/7, and I watch the logs, and I just make sure that everything stays up and running. And I mean, it's great. There's several of those servers are getting hammered all the time, and a couple of them has been almost a year since they needed to be rebooted. I mean, Linux is great that way. And my Windows machines at work can't go 2 weeks without needing to be rebooted.
Yeah, a lot of the Windows admins can't get past that concept that you don't need to reboot like every day or two.
Yeah, it's great. So my Dapper machine, I think it's been about 380 days. It's been over a year already.
Nice.
And that's, how old is Dapper now? You know, Hardy comes out tomorrow.
And, yep.
That's another. I was chatting with Dan this afternoon in the Lotta Linux Link chat room about a System 76 laptop.
That, we never mentioned that chat room on this show.
I know.
That is an evil chat room. There's only evil coming out of there.
Yeah.
We'll have to strike that from the record.
So I called System 76 because I didn't want to order my laptop until they offered Hardy Herring on it. And so I called them and I said, you know, it comes out tomorrow, but when will you start offering it on your machines? And they said tomorrow. Tomorrow, check the website.
Nice. Now that's freaking
service,
man.
That's a long-term support. That's going to be a long-term support distro, which is...
Yeah, that is a big deal to a lot of people, believe it or not, that it's a long-term support thing.
Yeah, because I'll probably get an extended warranty on it, and this is going to be hard for me not to change the distro on it, but if I, you know, if I get a laptop and everything works and the wireless and the card readers and things work in it, you know, I don't want to mess with it. I want it to work. And although I probably won't, because I can't leave things alone. I'll probably end up changing the distro at some point, but I think it would be good to get the long-term support on it. Dan was saying that he's had his laptop 2 years now and never had a call for support or anything. So
yeah, almost 2 years. The only stuff that I ever had to begin to search the support forums for One was I was having trouble after an upgrade when I realized it was booting the wrong kernel, so it wasn't an issue with anything on the System 76. The other was more out of curiosity as to whether or not they would, on this machine, get the webcam to be supported. From what I understand, the new servos, the servo 2s, the webcam is supported, but on the older one, they were never able to get the company to release the specs so they could write drivers for it. But System 76 does a phenomenal job with regards to support and giving back to the, actually the Ubuntu, primarily the Ubuntu community, but the community in general, because they work pretty closely with Ubuntu, so most of their stuff flows through Ubuntu, and you know, two thumbs up.
Yeah. It's great, man, seeing companies like System 76 and Norris. They get what Linux is all about, man. They get the whole fundamental concept of what it is, what the community's about. It's great.
Yeah, I was really impressed that, you know, they're going to offer it tomorrow, too. You know, that really says that they're in it all the way.
And, I'm sure those guys were testing the release candidates going in the
while
back, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm actually, you know, to be honest, I am running Hardy Heron on my System 76 laptop right now, and it works, you know, it works great. It works perfectly. So I would have no doubt in my mind that because System 76 works so closely with Ubuntu, that their systems are set up to support it right off the bat. Sorry.
I was telling you in the chat today that my Gateway laptop's just about ready to give up the ghost, and it gets so hot, man. That laptop, I never had seen a laptop get so hot. I don't know if there's...
It's great if you're not looking to have any kids in the future, you know?
Yeah. Gateway claims I had it in for service, and they said they, you know, it's actually normal for that laptop, but man... crazy hot. So
don't you love when you get a response from a company like that? Like, you know something is like not right, but the response is, you know, it's normal.
Yeah, they did say they acknowledge that system is known for getting hot, but man, it's just too hot. You can't even hold it on your lap. So that's why it was...
How nice of them to acknowledge it.
If your System 76 gets over hot, or how the battery life is. How's the battery last in yours?
You know, it depends on what I'm doing, but usually I get about 2 hours, 3 hours out of it. I you know, laptop battery life is such a finicky thing. There's another battery I think you can get that will boost it up to 4 to 6 hours. You know, it's so touch and go. Like, I see companies that say you're going to get 6 to 8 hours when you only get 4 hours out of it. So I'm not going to, you know, blow smoke up your ass about this. Like I said, I can get two, maybe 3 hours, depending on what I'm doing on it. But if I'm using it, like, for video or anything like that, it's going to... you suck the battery a lot faster, like watching a DVD or something. I recall.
Do you have a card reader? Do you have a card reader in your laptop?
Yeah, yes, I do. It has a SD flash reader on the front of the system. It has flash, 4 USB ports, I believe. Yeah, 3 USB ports. I'm sorry, a FireWire port, VGA out.
Okay.
DVD, rewritable drive, SD card reader, and PCMCIA slots. Two of those, and Ethernet, and wireless Ethernet.
Yep. Well, that's like what I'm in the market for. So
yeah,
I'll be,
you know,
placing an order soon.
I can't, you know, speak highly enough of System 76. Another really good company is The Reason. ZareaSon.com. They're really good. You know, I really do like the smaller companies because they they go that extra mile to give you support, to give you a very, you know, high quality product. They do that extra mile because, you know, they have to. I don't want to say they have to. I mean, they don't have to, but they know that, you know, your happiness with, or their satisfaction with the product is very dependent upon their future success, so they do a damn good job of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So I'll be placing my order real soon.
Well, I'm glad. They're really, really good. Really good.
Ask for the Tech Show rebate discount. see what they say.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
You could try. That'd be cool if they gave it to you.
They have some nice machines up at Emperor Linux, but they get big bucks for their machines.
Yeah, they're expensive, those machines. But they've been doing that for so long, though, those guys.
Yeah, they have a really good reputation. But
you're paying
like
a premium, though.
Yeah, it's big bucks. I need to spec mine out pretty high because I have to run XP in a virtual machine for work. Unfortunately, I have to do that, so I got to probably get 4 gigs of RAM in it.
But yeah, I've heard really good things about Emperor Linux too. They are on the pricier side. I think they're geared more towards engineers, scientists, and academic situations.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that too.
Places where
companies
are. I think
Corey Doctorow from Boing Boing has one, and he mentioned that he had a tech support issue where he had to have somebody. He called for support. I think he lives in England now, and they were able to remote into a system and help him. That was real cool.
He bought it from.
I believe it was Emperor.
Huh. We interviewed those guys in at Linux World Expo in Boston a few years back.
Yeah, some of their laptops are like near $5,000. That's a little bit more than I can go. But they configure them on a lot of different, you know, IBM, Lenovo's and Dell's, and you can get, you know, all kinds of different manufacturers.
But the whole thing is with them is I would think that, you know, their business is kind of going to evaporate now that, you know, more companies are offering pre-installs with Linux now. You know, Lenovo's doing it, Dell's doing it. But they have a good reputation, so maybe, you know, they have, you know, return customers.
Yes, I'm definitely leaning towards the System 76.
Yeah, I like the Darter model. That looks pretty damn nice, man. Nice, small, portable, powerful. That's the direction I want to head next time I get a new laptop.
Good
Dan,
stuff.
Which one do you have, man? You've got what, the servo?
Servo. The servo, yeah. Servo
that's
series.
The one I'm looking at.
Freaking awesome. I love it. I love it. It's just kooky. I love it. Quad, it's a dual processor. Freaking awesome. And, you know, I wish I was getting paid gobs of money so I could just go buy a new laptop every year, like a car, you know, like a new car. Because they got some really good stuff there. I haven't been to the System 76 website in a little while. I'm gonna go check it out right now and go, ooh, ah, ah.
Yeah.
Now featuring Gutsy Gibbon.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Tomorrow
it'll be Hardy Heron.
Yep, tomorrow.
Who dropped off?
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Ah, it must have been Pat. Got rid of that scumbag.
Damn
it, is Gus. Well, Russ, we have another guest we need to get on. I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for, you know, I look forward to listening to more episodes of your show. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. That's the Techie Geek, com. You have an AUG feed, which is probably the AUG feed, which is probably the most important thing to most of our listeners. Great job, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again in the near future.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey,
good night.
Take it easy.
Good night. Alrighty, bye.
All right. You know, I don't know where Pat is right now, but just to give you guys a little bit of information here while we're pulling in the next guest, we added a bunch of new shows in the past week. They're just like popping up like mushrooms after a rainstorm. Some really good stuff this week alone. Of course,
Dan? Are they, have you added them all into your little Bash Potter list there?
Yes, I have.
All right. So everybody who's using that can get them automatically.
That's right. There's the Armored Penguin, which is Vulcan Rider's security podcast, Security and Linux, in case I don't think I mentioned it last week. There's AG Speaks, who talks technical topics of interest and FOSS enthusiasts. The Techie Geek, who we just had on. RushersWebHop.org podcast. Join Philip and Josh as they talk about the latest news and hit the FOSS world and follow up with Linux goodness. IBM now has a podcast.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I enjoyed that.
It's the IBM Linux Technology Center podcast. And, of course, Alterna Geek was just called to my attention, which is a technology podcast and blog hosted by Linux Chick and Tech Monkey. Now, they're not strictly Linux-based. They talk about other topics, but, you know, with a host named Linux Chick, you know you're going to get some good stuff out of there.
There's also a Confidence podcast. Have you heard about that one, Dan?
No, I have not. Is there a
I heard it mentioned
podcast?
On another show. There's not a Compass-related show.
I'll have to give a look around for that.
I looked around. I couldn't see anything, so I don't know if it's up or not. Anywho, we've got our next guest. Are we done with Russ?
Yeah, Russ took off. He said he wanted to leave before you got back on, so he didn't have to say goodbye to you.
Okay. we have Snack Machine B, who's on the RC.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
Who is this, Smack Machine B?
Yeah, my real name's Will, but I've had that like neck for it, but...
It's Smack as in S-M-A-C-K, not snack, right? Not like a delicious treat?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's up, Will? How you doing today?
Not too shabby. You guys?
Excellent.
We're here. We're waiting on...
Oh, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I wanted to say thank you for the help with the 64-bit kernel build.
What did I do for you?
A couple weeks ago, I was having problems with my config to build the kernel, and I wasn't getting it, and you came back and had a solution.
You're damn right I did. You better remember that the next time you're there begging for money. Send it my way, right?
That's right.
No, I'm glad we could help you out. No, I do recall. I was trying to remember exactly what it was that you were having difficulty with, but I do remember that now. A couple weeks ago, and that's what are you running? An AMD Opteron?
It's one of the Phenoms.
Ah, that's right. Okay, is the system flying?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I've only got 2 gigs of RAM in it right now, and I'm about to take that out, and I'm going to put 2 2-sticks in it, so I'm going to have 4. And then I won't have any problems at all.
Well, that's cool. Maybe you can send that machine my way when you're done getting it all configured. That way, you know, take me to hassle.
Anything that Dan has currently.
Yeah, you know, that probably blows away all my systems combined.
Actually, this thing, after I'm done with it, is going to my younger brother, because he's got a really outdated machine, and I'm putting together an Intel build currently.
What did your younger brother ever do for you? Did he help you with a kernel compile? No.
Oh, well.
I'll tell you what. I will send your younger brother one of my older machines here, and you send me that one, and we'll call it even.
I don't know about that, Dan, but we'll see. I'll double check with him. I'll see him in a couple weeks.
Dan will even wipe off the dog piss off of it.
You know what? That's a collector's item classic with the dog piss left on. It's more valuable that way. It's a piece of history.
Well, there you go. But it's nice to see that we have another guest on the show. Link, how's it going?
Oh, hanging in there. Beating my head against some CSS right now.
Yeah. That's actually what I do at work. I do a lot of PHP and CSS web dev.
So you could further explain to Link that CSS is the way to go as opposed to tables.
Yes, CSS is the way. Well, it depends what you're using it for. It really depends what you're using it for. Instead of using, like, a bunch of list tags, you can use a table. It makes life a whole lot better. But it should only be used if you're using, you know, data that should be tabular. Anything else you should have in a div.
Yeah.
The glory of
pretty much what I'm doing. The problem that I have is, there's a myriad of problems that I have, actually, so. It's just not been a happy thing for me. The biggest problem is I'm trying to beat some CSS in the submission and make a new WordPress weblog look like an old, HTML style page that I did a long time ago. And it's not being happy, you know.
Well,
I'm trying to make it look like a BBS.
What's that?
You trying to make a page look like a BBS login?
No, I'm trying to make it look like an HTML page that I did a long time ago and get it to work under WordPress, but it's not cooperating. So,
a lot of the times the position or the positioning, if it's in another div, the previous positioning that's set, whether it's relative, if it's absolute, if it's static, that all matters when you're setting the margins or whatever values for the child div within. That might be something you want to look at.
Yeah, and I can, that's what I'm doing now, and I can get everything to work if I use absolute sizes.
Okay.
Under CSS, but I would like to be able to have it use box sizes relative to the whatever size the browser can handle.
Right.
And it just doesn't want to work that way. It's just not being happy.
And generally, my rule of thumb when I'm doing the web dev stuff is to take and make your main outside div, whether you actually see like a border or anything, make that an absolute value with a percentage settings for the margins and the width, and then any div that is within that, make that a relative. Mm-hmm. And that usually does it.
Yeah, that I can do, but that means that you can't, you know, for instance, like, you guys have all seen different weblogs, right? And most of them that you see have a specific width of the actual weblog information. You know, they'll have these borders that are relative sizes outside
right.
of the actual page itself, and then there's a specific size set page in the middle. I would like to avoid that and use like and have it be relative to the browser size, but you just can't do that under CSS. It's not.
No, it's not friendly at all.
Kind of thing. You have to specify a width. And I think that that's probably, you know, to me anyway, that's a major limitation under CSS. It's a pain in the ass. Something that you can do easily with tables.
Right.
But CSS just cannot seem to handle percentages for widths very well. You know,
right.
Whether or not you're inside or outside another div for a box or whatever. But
yeah.
It just pisses and the only, me off. So.
And the other thing that goes into effect there is the browser engines.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, IE, besides being a piece of crap, has their padding and their border size affect the actual size of the div.
Right. But, mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, I just
but yeah,
well,
that's
actually
what I'm beating my head against.
Fun stuff. So I was telling Pat earlier, I wanted to argue the point that Russ said that you know, Macs and OS X were you know, superior. I just kind of find it funny the fact that Linux runs better on a Mac than OS X does.
I don't think Russ said that. I think I said Russ said that.
Oh.
Yeah, I was being a smartass. But
he's trying to start trouble.
I was just repeating what Pat says on a regular basis every day in the chat about how he says that OS X runs so superior on Apple hardware. Are you running a flavor of Linux on Mac hardware?
Well, my fiance has a one of the MacBooks, and I just put in, you know, she only got it with 512 RAM, and I just upped it to 2 gigs today. And I've tried all sorts of different flavors. I've tried Arch, I've tried Ubuntu, Fedora. Trying to think of what else I tried or put on there, but it all seemed to work fine. You know, each of them had their own little quirks, but once you work with it a little bit, they run fine. Only thing that I've really noticed that you've got to watch out, especially if you're running on battery, is the you've got to play around with the ACPI settings, because uh-huh. That fan just once you boot up, that fan just starts whirring. So
now, have you she's got an Intel system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ran Ubuntu, I think, on an Intel one. Or a couple of, yeah, I think it was just mainly Ubuntu. It's not too bad.
No. And Compass works fine on it, too. I haven't had a problem there, either.
Yeah, since they moved to the Intel chipset, you can get a lot more software running than you could back in the PPC days, which was, you know, was very nice. Very,
yeah.
Very, very nice.
Actually, I used to have a one of the PPC-based Mac Minis, and I sold that to build my Linux box.
Nice.
So you going to buy yourself a new Mac hardware anytime soon?
Me? No. No. If I buy another laptop or anything, it's going to be an Intel build.
Come on, you know you want to go Apple. You could use the Davila discount.
No, I don't think so. Actually, I've got a decent discount through Dell at my work. So I might end up getting one of the one of those 1530s.
Hmm. Well, seriously, if you're interested in Apple, use the Davila discount. It adds plus 20% to your price.
Yes. Yeah. What you do is you type in Pat, cease and desist.
And for 20% more, you get 100% less. You can't go wrong.
I don't know about that.
So how long have you been using Linux?
Well, I started using Linux, Slackware version 7. That was, what, about 98, 99, somewhere around there?
I believe, yeah, around there. You started with Slackware?
I started with Slackware, yeah.
Now, why did you start with Slackware as opposed to, like, Red Hat 4 or 5, which was out around that time, I think?
Well, the one of my friends that got me into Linux, he told me to try Slackware, and I tried that, and you know, I had a couple, you know, issues with it because I didn't really understand what was going on. This is the first time I had ever used it, and I did try Red Hat. I believe it was 6.2 at the time, and I also tried Mandrake. I don't remember what version it was, but I tried both of those, and they were okay, but I'm more of a console-based person anyway. So once I went basically right back to Slackware and just started messing with it until I got it working and understand what was going on with it. And then after that, I just, you know, if I had a new system or I was showing someone else, if they were interested, you know, I put the disk in, you do the install, you change a couple configs, and, you know, you're up and running anymore. It just works.
That's right, it just freaking works. Slackware is awesome.
Yeah.
That's right. I've actually I'm trying to remember, I think it's version 12 running on a server that does my my website hosting. And then on my desktop I'm running Arch.
Arch is a really great distribution too. Although, on occasion, it can cause problems when you upgrade.
I haven't had any problems with an upgrade. I've been lucky, I guess. I've been running, blah, 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 blah. Not this last RC, but the last CD build that came out. I've been running that with the testing repository, and I haven't had problems. Now, a lot of stuff I've seen, like anything with virtualization, like if you're using Xen or VirtualBox, you'll have issues if you have, like right now the stable kernel is 2.6.24, and the testing is 2.6.25. And VirtualBox hasn't been updated for the newer kernel, so if you're using the 2.6.25 kernel, it's not going to work because the module is 2.6.24. So you'd have to recompile that, which I was looking for the binaries to do it, and I didn't see them installed anywhere, so that's going to be fun.
Just go grab the source and install it from source.
That's what I was going
to
do.
Actually, build an Arch package to do that. And then after you do that, they'll come out with the new build the next day.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm kind of waiting.
Do you do a lot with virtual machines?
Well, I mainly use it for testing at home. I was talking with one of the IT managers at work a couple months ago, and we're trying to regain some of the PCs that are currently out. That are in use on desktops, trying to regain some of those because we're hiring additional people, and they were trying to use a Windows server and then use virtual machines from that with VMware server to host them, and it wasn't working. They were getting way too much overhead, and I suggested, well, why don't we try Linux? It's a lower overhead, you know, started from command line, and we got that up and running, and it's been a great success. So they were all excited about that, but as far as virtuals, that's pretty much my experience with it.
That's cool. That is awesome. So what do you do on what is your job?
My official title is a database maintenance analyst, which sounds a lot more database-oriented than what I actually do. I'm, like I was saying earlier, I'm mostly a web dev for our intranet. But I'm under the MIS, or IS, I guess, department, which is under the IT umbrella at work. But I do a lot of web dev, and pretty much all of our systems except for a couple servers are all Windows boxes. So I do some Visual Basic coding, but that's about it, really.
Visual Basic coding.
You guys are writing virus scripts?
No, no. It's a lot of internal macros that we use.
Better you than me.
It's, I don't know. After a while, you don't even realize you're doing it. You just, you know. Sometimes you run into a.
Viruses come natural.
I wouldn't know, Dan. I don't write them.
Oh, sorry. Pat writes viruses for banks, don't you, Pat?
No.
Dun, dun, dun. That was another thing, actually.
I was going to say it's getting late. If you got more to add, then by all means.
Not really. No, I was just kind of sitting here bullshitting. There you go. You guys have just weren't, or I don't know. I haven't really listened much because I've been doing a little spring cleaning. But there's your, oh geez, I can't even think tonight.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. You guys do a great work on the show, and I listen every week. So
that's your mistake, not ours.
Yeah, well, there you go.
No, thank you. Thank you for listening. Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you for calling in and talking to us.
No problem.
And thank you for running 64-bit Linux.
Oh, no problem. Now if we can just get Flash working, it'll make my life easier.
You can get Flash working pretty easily, man. Check out NS Plugin Wrapper, and if all else fails, you could just install the 32-bit version of Firefox.
Yeah, but... I don't want to do that. I want to run a full 64-bit system. That's my only issue.
Have you tried working with NS Plugin Wrapper?
A little bit. Not a whole lot, but...
No success?
Well, I was in between things at the time when I started messing with it, and I was looking at some of the documentation for it. And I just said, you know what, I'll deal with this later, and I just never went back to it.
Shame, shame, shame.
You can get it working. It's not ridiculously hard. You just got to try it out and play around with it. And
yeah, with Pat's
so
yeah.
Exactly. It will work eventually.
Yeah, eventually. But all right, guys, well, I'll let you go, and keep doing a great job on the show, and I'll keep listening.
Thank
cool,
you.
Man.
You have
Thanks
a great
talking
one.
To you.
Have
all
a
right,
good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Da-da-da. You know what?
So next week we talk... Next, go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. You announce.
I was just going to say we're talking to Ian Murdoch next week.
Yes, Ian Murdoch. He is the... developer of the new Visual Studio?
No.
No?
He's the founder of the Debian project, and he works for Sun Microsystems now.
Yes, I know. I was just kidding. I look forward to speaking with him. Founder of the Debian project, right?
Yep. So, Dan, you've been running Vista, right, with the rest of the silent majority?
You know it. Actually, that's what I wanted to bring up today, this very important fact. Crap, where's that email? I specifically wrote an email that said this is important for today, and what happened to it? It was really... Okay, yeah, here we go. This is important. This is what I learned this week on Windows Weekly. I learned...
Paul Farratt.
Paul Farratt.
And Leah Laporte.
Yes, because we live in a blogified society, a fast-paced change, those people who are vocal against Vista are primarily upset because of the long delay that it took for Microsoft to release Vista, and that long delay did not equate with enough new features and pizzazz to warrant from them a positive review. It was just more of the same, according to Paul Theron, which is why Vista is perceived as being a bad operating system and why it's perceived as doing bad. Because they say so. Now, according to him, the silent majority are content with just using their Vista machines. And he says, let's face it, Vista is the ratty sweater in the closet. We are just comfortable using it, and we will never throw it out. So MS should not fear. And that's important. The truth is that those few people who've had issues are all we hear about. That Vista is a resounding success, and we don't hear about the good things because people are content. It just works. That is what I learned on Windows Weekly.
Now that is enlightening, man. The silent majority.
Mm-hmm. What he was concerned about, what he iterated, was those early reviews that tainted the impression people have of Vista. Those early reviews where people are having a hard time working hardware and getting some software to work. Those complaints, while they're in the minority, just do not exist in the current implementation of Vista. That's what he basically boiled down the argument in saying Vista is successful. It's just bullshit you're hearing from a certain vocal minority. Which, you know, made me think about the fact that we often hear, or we hear of people comparing the Linux of 1999 to the Windows or OS X of 2007. So maybe Vista is a resounding success.
Right.
I don't know.
Keep repeating that ad nauseum. Eventually you start to believe it.
True, true. Between that, you know, that and the latest episode of Twit, I just wanted to throw my computer out the window.
Yeah, they're really hating on, like, Linux and open source, the whole Twit network, man. I don't know what the fuck the problem is over there.
I don't get it.
I'm thinking of giving Leo Laporte a call on his radio show this weekend, maybe. I'll see if I have time to do it. I'd like to talk to him and give him my two cents. Don't get me wrong, man, I like Leo Laporte. He's a nice guy and everything. But I don't know what the fuck the deal is with some of those people on the Twit network, man. They need to take their heads out of their asses.
Now, MadDog39 on the forum, or on IRC, is saying he was talking about XP, not Vista. I will go back and suffer re-listening again tomorrow, but I was pretty sure he was talking about Vista.
He was talking about Vista. Yes, he was.
Because I had to scan back a few times because I could not believe what I was actually hearing.
Yeah, it's crap, man.
I don't know.
If you want to hear, like, ads ad nauseum, man, go listen to Twitch shows.
I'd like to let us know that our newest, our guests know, and our listeners know that our latest sponsor, Audible.com, is proud to offer you a Audible file downloader for Vista or OS X, which you can use by going in and signing up for an Audible account and using the code TECHSHOW, TLLTS TECHSHOW. It will not run in Wine, so you will have to use it in Windows or OS X.
Yes, and we're also, you can get a discount code for Tits Up Software and Spin Wrong.
There you go, Spin Wrong. Jeez. Hi, anything else today, people? Alice too busy trying to download that copy, the Audible downloader.
No, Alan's getting ready for bed.
Well, he's got like, Mac, so.
I don't care. It just works, and that's all that matters. You know, actually, Gorkon brings up a good point and said Audible sponsorship is over for the Twit Network. That's what I heard today, too, although I'm not sure why it's over or if they said why it was over or other than the fact that it just ran out, and I don't know if they're renewing or what. I missed that, if they even related it. But be that as it may, Link, you listen to the Twit Network of shows, right?
Yeah, all the time, right. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, silence is consent.
Well, I was talking to you, but my mute was on. That's the problem with these IP phones. They really need to have some sort of a LED indicator on there, whether or not your mute is on. I probably have held entire conversations with you guys with my freaking mute button on and not known it, you know?
And then you get pissed off because you think we're ignoring you, right?
Well, you know, yeah, sure.
Sons of bitches.
Like, I take you for a Matt Frick Weekly guy, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A favorite show.
He doesn't just download the OGG, man. He downloads the WAV file every week for it.
Yeah. They have an OGG?
Do they?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, come on. Really?
They probably have an AAC file.
You know, I wonder if they do. One of our happy listeners can go look, because I'm not going to go do that.
Yeah, me either, man.
All right, gentlemen, anything else before I play this wonderful song that Pat is so excited about? And it is a really good song.
No, probably not. I mean, I'm redoing, some of you will know that I'm redoing the Linux for Christians website, but that's kind of what I was talking about earlier.
We're waiting for
those
to get it
of you
done.
Who are interested. Yeah, right. That's that whole, you know, me trying to beat WordPress into submission kind of thing.
Are you using the new version of WordPress?
Yeah, it's 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah. I see what you're doing here. Work faster, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully by next week, Link will have his tables finished.
No tables, man. I got it. I got it working under CSS.
He will have his CSS finished, and we'll be golden. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And, Pat, who are we listening to?
I don't know the artist name, but it's the Cute Ford Dance.
The Cute Ford Dance. The artist here is listed as Finn Arild, A-R-I-L-D, from Trolltech. And this is it. Thank you very much, and we'll
fire
talk
up
to you
the glow
next
sticks,
week.
Man.
Here we go.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, Mars.
Hey, Jean-Claude, you look just worn out today.
Oh, it's horrible. It's impossible. I have to do this application for tomorrow on 3 different platforms and in Chinese, and I don't know how to do that.
Oh, but honey, is that all? I think I got the solution for you. Come on over here. Now you stand there, and I stand here. And now, you just do right after me. Okay? Now do the cute Ford dance. Come do the cute Ford dance. You do the cute Ford dance. Cutest boy, everybody's easy to use. And it will run on an
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
I don't think people appreciated that, did they?
You should play it again, Dan.
Should I play it again? And crank up the volume?
Oh, my God. That is pretty fruity.
I like it. So then again, I like your pop.
It's real fruity, man. It's funny, though. Jean-Claude, what's wrong? Oh, I have to code this app on 3 different platforms in Chinese by tomorrow.
It makes me want to go do the Keep 4 dance, baby.
Hey, everybody. Good night. I got to get up real
early. Good night, Alan. Good night, Alan. See y'all
next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Link. Hope you feel better.
Yeah. It's getting there. Better get better fast because I got to walk around Philly with my parents on Friday, so.
Oh, that'll be fun. Try not to kill anybody.
I give it a shot.
Have a good night.
See ya.
Peace out, y'all.
Gonna play the Q4 dance again, Dan?
Probably not. That'll just upset everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they got pissed.
They can go download it. The link's in the, show notes.
Yep, download it and love it. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man. Have a good one.
Bye.
Have a good one. Oh, bye. Oh, I gotta wrap things up here myself. Alright, everybody. That's it for everybody else. That's it for me. Oh, Randy Noyce wants me to say, we will rock you. Tux will rock you. I don't have it up anymore. Oh, yeah. You guys just want that, don't you? You want it. You want it. Oh, you want it.
Crazy.
I got a little pussycat right here. Got bad news. Unfortunately, my favorite little kitty, my oldest kitty, favorite little kitty, he's about 11 years old. And maybe 12. He's got the feline amino deficiency virus, the FIV, which stinks. And he's getting really emaciated. He's doing all right, though, but... it's a bummer. Always stinks when... You know, when your pet... Pets! He's getting close to having... End of story. But anyway, he's a good cat. Really good cat. All right. Have a good one, everybody. I'll leave you with a little jingle. Actually, I will. I'll try this. I don't remember the lyrics. I changed them a little bit, but maybe it's a song that goes out to my buddy Jeremy. I used to be your baby, used to be your pride and joy. Used to take me coding just like any other boy. But now you found another partner, you left me like a broken toy. There's someone else you're taking, someone else you're playing to. Jeremy, though I'm naked, know just what I have to do. If I can have you when I'm waking, I'll go to sleep and dream I'm with you. Oh, take me, take me, take me to the Linux ball. I'll be right on time, and I'll dress so fine. You're gonna love me when you see me, I won't have to worry. Take me, wake me, promise not to shake me till it's over. It's all been true. Ooh, take me to the Linux ball. I like that.
Damn, Jono. Damn you.
Somebody's going to shoot that horse.
Burn you to hell.
What? You like that? Someone's going to shoot that what, horse?
Somebody's going to shoot that horse, man.
They better, man. They better shoot it soon.
Put it out of its misery.
As it... Where are you taking your family? Any place in particular?
I think they want to go see, like, the Liberty Bell, and... Supposedly there's some kind of, I don't know what the hell... It's something duck ride down there, too. Basically what it is that it's like a tour thing, and it's aquatic buses or something like that. Like, they go through the water and stuff, too. I don't know.
Oh, neat.
I don't know what the hell the name of it is, and... One of the guys at work was telling me about it. I should probably Google it and figure out what the hell it is, you know?
That should be fun. That should be a lot of fun.
What does it say? Ride the Ducks of Philadelphia, the Duck Tour of Philadelphia. It's quacktacular. Tour historic Philadelphia and splash into the Delaware River at Penn's Landing. Ride the Ducks.
So it's an aquatic bus, you said?
Aquatic buses or something like that, yes.
So where do they go down the Delaware? They just, like, drive right into the Delaware and sink?
Apparently, yeah.
It's a one-way trip.
Probably, yeah.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
Says, see Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, Betsy Ross's house, National Constitution Center, and scenes from the movie National Treasure.
You know what? I think I went on a tour similar to that a long time ago when I was a kid, but they didn't do it with the Ducks, though. Yeah, I think it was just a regular bus-type tour. Philadelphia is a neat city.
Not that bad.
Are you sick of it?
No, I don't really get to see very much of it. You know, I'm kind of quarantined in a... You know.
Huh. You're all about the college, the university now.
Yeah, man. Gotta be there and do my work. That's the kind of deal it is.
Yeah. Do you get student workers on your team or anything like that?
No.
Awesome. Well, I actually gotta get this thing going here, so I'm gonna shut off the recording. You can say bye-bye if you want.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3. Am I really hot still?
You're still a little distorted, but a little better than before.
How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
A lot better?
Yeah.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Hello? 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 Who the? Hello? Tell me which is better. Is this better? Or is that better?
The second... there's a lot of background noise.
How about now?
Still a decent amount of background noise.
Is there background noise now?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. It almost sounds like a fan or something.
Where is it? Hello?
Yeah?
Where is the background noise coming from?
I don't know. I'm hearing it.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. How about now?
I still hear it, man. It sounds like a helicopter or something.
Where the heck is the background noise coming from?
It's really noisy, man.
Hold on.
Holy smokes, that was horrible. Still there. Wait. That's better.
Now, isn't it?
Yep.
Let me see. How do I sound?
You sound a little low.
How about now? Is that better?
Now I'm hearing a hum.
Still hearing a hum?
Yeah.
How about now?
Keep talking.
I'm talking.
You're low. I mean, I can understand what you're saying, Dan. You just, your volume's just a little low.
How about now?
Helicopter back.
How about now?
Still there.
How about now?
It's still there, Dan.
Hello, yes, noisy.
Hello?
Yeah, doesn't he? He sounds like shit, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's got like a motorboat sound.
How about now?
It's still there.
So. What you do, Dan?
Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it sounds like shit.
Yeah, it's super loud now.
How about now?
That's a little better. You're really low now.
How about now?
You're low. You're low, but the sound isn't as annoying.
I'd say I don't hear the motorboating over here anymore.
Do you hear the motorboating now?
No.
First, no, not really.
How about now?
Yeah, now we hear it. And you're distorted.
How about now?
It's in the background.
Yeah, not as bad.
How about now?
It's gone.
Do you hear me now?
We hear you. You're a little low, but you're tolerable.
How about now?
Help back.
What are you doing? Causing this? I'm on a different system.
Shitty audio card.
No, it sounds like you've got like almost a ground loop somewhere.
How about that?
Sounds still like there. Shit.
How about that?
Still there?
Yep.
How about that?
Gone now.
It's gone now.
Can you hear me, though?
You're a little low. But at least you don't hear that freaking noise, man. It sounds like a helicopter rotor.
How about that? Is that different?
It's lower.
What about now?
That's probably as good as you're going to get, Dan.
What about now?
Talk a little bit more than just about what now.
Okay, what about now? Is that any better?
That's decent.
You're slightly clipping there.
Oh, helicopter. Yep. Are you still there, Alan?
No, I'm still here, yeah.
You still got that noise, man, even though he's not talking.
Yeah, it's there in the background.
Yeah, he's got a bad cable or something, a bad connection.
Dan, what did you change?
He says he's on a different machine. Crappy.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, yeah.
Talk.
I'm talking right now. You can hear me? So,
there's a little bit of a hum, but it's not as bad as it was before.
I'm trying to figure out where that hum is coming from. Is this any better?
You sound like you're just starting to distort.
Clipping. Yeah, you're clipping.
Now that should be clipping now, right?
You're definitely clipping there.
And you hear the noise again.
What about now?
The noise is there, but the noise is still there.
Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, like.
What's up?
Hey, Link, you still want to go to,
Hello? Hello? Hello?
There, Dan. You're running loud, Dan.
Testing.
The breaking of my eardrums.
Testing.
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 What the heck?
Testing. Testing. Am I still breaking up to you?
Testicle.
No.
Oh, and Dan's testing. Link, you still want to go to, are you still going to Trenton Computer Fest this weekend?
I believe that, that is a good possibility, yes.
Good. When do you want to meet up? Or how do you want to do it?
That's a good question. I don't really know. You know, I have to walk around, Philadelphia with my parents on Friday, so I probably will be better prepared to answer that question on Friday night after I'm broken.
There you go. Broken or bugged.
Are you guys getting feedback?
We're not getting feedback. No, you sound awful hot, man.
Yeah.
How about now?
That's better.
There's a little bit of background noise, but nothing.
You getting background noise now?
Only if I crank my headphones all the way up.
Well, are you supposed to crank your headphones? Wait, my volume is really low, though, isn't it?
Your vocals now are very low, yes.
How about right now?
I didn't hear any change.
How about right now?
I can hear you well. I don't know how
we can understand you.
What about now?
You're just a little low.
Now you're a little high.
He's a little hot.
How about
now? Talk a little more.
Am I still hot?
I think it sounds okay.
Dan, you are hot. You are
that's
so
about
hot.
As good as he sounded so far.
Leave it where it is and just talk a little farther from the mic. It should be all right.
Okay, how about that? Is that better?
It's going to do.
It'll do or what? What's...
Well, no. Technically, I think you should be down just a hair because you sound like you're right on top of the mic. But don't worry about it. It's okay.
Is that better now?
Talk some more.
All right. How about that? Is that better? I have it down to 35.
This is Joe.
Yeah. How you doing, Joe? Is that better, Alan?
Yeah, it'll work. It'll work.
But I don't want to inconvenience you.
No. I just turned the volume down. No, it just sounds fine, Dan. Just run with it.
All right. Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Stop breaking the machine, Dan. You'll be all right.
No, I broke my headphones. I had to get a different pair of headphones with a mic. They're not the same kind. I'm really ticked off, too, because I like those other ones.
Did the Mexican headphones you liked?
No. There was a Logitech headset, USB mic, I was using on the AAA.
Okay.
But now I just have just a regular headset with a microphone on it, and it goes right into the mic jack. And normally it sounds all right, but I...
Two turntables and a microphone.
There you go.
Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody, clap your hands.
Speaking of music, we've got a really special selection of music for the end of the show. I hope you're in the mood to dance, fellas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Alan, fire up the glow sticks.
Joe, just to let you know, you are live, and we are recording right now, but the show has not started.
Okay, great.
Do we have a list of guests tonight there, Pat? Call it in?
So far, just Gorkon.
Because we have somebody at between 9:30 and 10, too.
Okay, well, Gorkon said 9, so that should probably do it then. Maybe
all right.
One more or two.
All right. Let me test this and see how the audio is on this. Get ready.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
link to the new Linux and the latest technology.
836.
Let me see if I can get BinRev up and running before I, No BinRev. Not yet. Still no BinRev.
Doesn't like us anymore.
I hope I'm got the password correct. Ah, we're on BinRev now. Okay. We have all the background recordings going, backup recordings.
Yep, I got mine going.
Recordings. Everybody's happy. We're ready to start.
Raw.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, we getting any feedback or anything, background noise or anything you hear? Are we okay?
Run with it.
All right. You say so, Alan. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.